If you'd open your Bible this morning to Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 17, we'll start at. And I'll try to be as timely as I can with this message. I believe this is what the Lord would have me to preach to you. And I know that, you can never get fixed up until you realize you have a problem. And then when you realize that you have a problem that virtually you can't handle, you'll go to a professional to get that problem taken care of. And I know a physician today that's a great physician. He's the best physician ever. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he also goes by the Spirit of God. And the Bible says about the Holy Ghost of God that is running things right now in the kingdom of God. The Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We understand that the Father is up in heaven. We understand that Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. But I think oftentimes he gets up because he's also a carpenter. He's building mansions and he's doing things other than just being seated at the right hand of the Father. But the entity that's in control in the age of grace and in the kingdom of God is the Spirit of God. And so he's the one that we need to get things patched up with. And we're going to talk about today new nature necessities. I did have it right, Brother Ricky, new nature necessities. And he tested my memory. But we're going to talk about the new nature today. And I understand that when you have a toothache or a wide open nerve, sometimes somebody goes in there and touches that thing. All of a sudden you want to fight. Well, it's better than just lying there like a dead mackerel on the beach, amen? We don't want to be dead Baptists. We want to be alive unto God, because that's what we are. The object of the God of this world and of the of our culture is to, you know, like the snake in Jungle Book, you know, with the little kid, you know, and the snake would do the googly eyes on the kid and try to put that kid to sleep. That's what God wants to do with Bible-believing Christians today. Number one, not God, excuse me, that's what the God of this world, the devil wants to do, that old serpent, the devil wants to do is put you to sleep. Wants to feed you with the wrong things so that you get sick on God. Okay, so but I hope this message is an encouragement to you. New nature necessities, and look with me if you will in Hebrews chapter number 4 verse 17. Paul says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them." As a saved person, you can be alienated from the life of God and still go to heaven. Amen. Because the lack of knowledge of the Spirit of God on a daily basis in this book that you don't have on your insides. God has done virtually everything. A lot for you, but there's a lot that you have to do in order to be in fellowship with the Lord and in order to have a Christian, victorious Christian life, and in order to have your light shine at the watts of 60, 80, 100, or 200 watts. Hey, you got to turn the lights on, brother. If you don't turn the lights on, the bugs are going to be all over you. But it says there, as a saved person, you can be alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. So I've already started to meddle, but that's okay. That's why we came to church, right? Because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye... So we have to learn Christ. See, it's not virtually the preacher's problem that you leave this place drier than cracker juice. He's where he's supposed to be, and he's doing what he's supposed to do. But when you bring your sorry self in here that's emaciated from the Word of God and from the Spirit of God, and you walk out of here no worse, no better than how you came in, all of a sudden your long tongue wants to slap the preacher upside his head and talk about him. And yada, yada, yada. No, it's not his fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. In America, it's your fault. Now, over in Indonesia or over in Turkey and over in some of those places, I can understand. But not in America. It says there, if so be that ye have heard him and seen and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now this is where the text comes from. It says the necessities of the new nature. It says, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. After salvation, discipleship, and sanctification, you understood you were a sinner on your way to hell. You received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Your name got written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You understood that dealing with the Spirit of God on you. Now He needs to come back to you, and you need to be discipled as a Christian. That's where our churches are dropping off. We've got salvation good. That's the easy part. But the disciple part, that's the part that takes time. That's the part that takes days. That's the part that takes a lot of thrust, or it takes a lot of effort to disciple another Christian. And this, if you're going to be a victorious Christian, if you're going to be in fellowship with God Almighty, I feel like Joe Biden up here. If you're gonna be in fellowship with God Almighty, and if you're gonna have the river of life flowing through you, the next thing that you have to understand is that you have an old nature and you have a new nature. If you never understand that in your Christian life, yeah, you'll go to heaven, but you'll go to heaven as a saved infant. No power, no victory, no unction, no eternal vision. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. Any soul that's been, it says there in verse number 24, and that you put on the new man. You and I are very good at doing the put on. I think there's a song by Ray Charles. I bet Dogger could help me out with that. It's a put on. You know, the black fella that played? He has a song out there. It's a put on. You and I have a great ability to put on. In front of one another. We're very good at it. But I wonder, is the inside match and the outside when it comes to this old nature and new nature scenario? Any soul that's believed on and received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior has been born again. We know that. And has an old carnal, wicked, Adamic nature that gravitates and lusts for temporal, worldly, and selfish things. You say, how do I know that? Well, smell your breath in the morning. Yeah. Now, see, that's very applicable. But the breath that comes out of your insides, or any other smell that comes out of your insides, oftentimes isn't too glorious. And you know what we got to do? We got to cover it up, don't we? Because we don't like the embarrassment. But see, with God, we can't cover up. With Spirit of God, we can't cover up. There are some things that we can anoint ourselves with. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. There are some things that we can do in order to take away that old smell and take away that old nature, so that a refreshment comes to believers as well to God. Not only is there an old, carnal, wicked, Adamic nature, but there's also a new nature that is created in righteousness. Look at verse 24, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. And created in righteousness and true holiness. Both those natures are on your inside. It's the new nature necessities. Listen, that new man on your inside that God has stamped His image there, the image of the last Adam, that guy inside of you needs to be fed. That guy, and so that he'll grow. The Bible gives the pictures of the two natures. I'll give them to you briefly. You have an old man and a new man. Well, my old man, you know, that old bag, my ball and chain. Inside of us, if that offends you, I appreciate it. You can laugh. It's okay. We don't say those types of things as Christians. Brother Dan went over that in Sunday school. But on our insides, if you're saved, you have an old man. You have a new man. You have a first Adam. You have a second Adam. Someone cuts you off out in traffic, and all of a sudden, here comes Cain. Yeah. And Abel steps up and says, hey, your kids are in the back seat watching and listening to you. Oh, all right. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3 says, by nature we're the children of wrath. That's you and that's me. Amen. I'm a child of wrath. Thank God I've been saved, but it's still there. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says that we're to be partakers of the divine nature through the precious promises. So you and I have two natures. You know, it's an amazing thing. The Bible says, for which cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh in you that believe. I got to forget, I got the phone there. You know what one of the hardest things to do? It's to try to persuade you and convince you to hear a voice that you've never heard before. To try to persuade and convince you to believe in a man that you've never seen before. The old nature wants to... The old nature is a dead nature. The new nature is a nature that's alive unto God, and the old nature gravitates to the filthy, nasty, carnal things that are in this world through lust and temptation. The new nature is something that wants to, like a bee to a flower, or like a husband to a wife, or like a child to a daddy. That new nature wants to gravitate to those things that are pure, wants to gravitate to those things that are holy, wants to gravitate to those things that are just and good. There's a nature that's blind and can't see the handiwork of God. There's a nature, a new nature, that can see the things of God. There's a nature that is deaf and can't hear when God speaks. There's a nature that can now hear God's voice. I wonder, when was it the last time that you heard the Father speak to you as a son or a daughter? Maybe it is that your ears are clogged up. Maybe you need an inner ear root canal. God forbid. Are you hearing the voice of God? We like to say that we are. We put the smile on like we are. But I wonder, when was the last time you heard from your Father? The old nature that is laden with sin, and sin is like leprosy, and it can't feel the presence of God. You don't know when God's presence is around. That old nature wants to have nothing to do with God. You know how I know that? Because when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, you know the first thing that they did? They ran. They hid. They didn't want to, that old nature doesn't want to sense the presence of God. And not only that, you know what they did? They went and hung out amongst the trees where that old serpent was hanging out. That old nature, it wants nothing to do. It can't, because of that sin and because of that leprosy. You sin long enough, the Bible says, you'll sear your conscience. Amen. That if God's around, you won't even be able to pick up on Him. And it's not your wife's fault. It's not the preacher's fault. It's not God's fault. It's your fault. But the new nature, which is, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It can feel the touch and the presence of the invisible God. I kicked myself down here as we sang that song. And can it be that I couldn't just cry a few tears for what Jesus Christ has gone through me as I wanted to, as it was right there? What's wrong with me? Am I hardened? I don't get off into emotions too well unless I've got a, 32-inch walleye on my line, or a 20-inch will do as well. I like emotions. But what's wrong? What's wrong with my heart? What's wrong with your heart that once in a while you and your Father, you can't cry and rejoice together over the goodness of God? Maybe the devil has you looking at that cup that it's just so empty, so empty, so empty, that he won't let you concentrate on how really, really, really full it is. Because as Americans, I don't care. We have a full cup. I know there's problems. Patty has liver problems. Sister Melba Jane's with us. I know there's needs. But that cup's full. You know, the new nature, it can't sense the royalty of a king when he's around, or the touch of a mother or of a father's hand, or the encouraging words and help of a friend and a savior. Now, those are some of the examples and pictures of the old natures. As an illustration goes, and I don't know if I should be politically correct or not, but you and I have two natures inside of us, and it's shown us here in verse number 24 that you put on the new man, that new nature that's on your inside, that it was regenerated when you called on the name of the Lord and you were saved. Man, that energy came inside of you. The Spirit of God came inside of you and lit things up. Saved your soul from an eternal hell. Allowed you into the access and the presence of your Creator at any time. And that Spirit and that energy and that creation, that new man is on your insides. And the thing is, the illustration goes like this. It used to be a black dog and a white dog. But now I have to be politically correct per se because of that thing right there. Now it's a good dog and a bad dog. You differentiate which one's Blanco and which one's the color of Mike's suit back there. Negro. That's a Spanish word. Thank you. To the dog that you feed the most is the one that's going to give you the victory in your life. That's all there is to it. The object in the Christian life for the Christian victory and fellowship with God and fellowship with other believers is to starve the bad dog and feed the good dog those necessities of the new nature. They're necessities. If you don't feed the outside man, he's going to die. You feed him food. You have an inside man that needs to be fed. And as Americans, you and I aren't feeding them the way that we should. And you're missing out on the will of God. You're missing. And you know what? In those days that we don't feed that new nature on our insides, or we don't give him the necessities of that new nature on the inside, the days that you have spent, you can no longer get back. Amen. They're long gone. So here's the message. New nature necessity. It's a necessity. It's a necessity that you feed this guy. It's a necessity that you flee and fight. Well, flee, excuse me, because I can't be here for 2 hours and I'm not going to try to be. But it's a necessity that you feed the new nature. It's a necessity that you flee. It's a necessity that you follow. And it's a necessity that you have fellowship with the one that gave you that new nature, that Superman, that Wonder Woman on your insides. Let me go with my first point. Number one, look at Luke chapter 4, verse 4. And I have some Bible verses on the back table. If you would like to take one, or two, or three, or four, I'm sure they're all going to run out. If I was selling them, they'd be gone in an instant. But because they're free, I'm sure there's going to be some left. You need to feed that new nature. It's a necessity, as I've mentioned, that you feed that new nature on your insides. Look what Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, verse 4. Jesus answered, talking to the devil in the wilderness. Dan hit this in Sunday school today, saying, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." That's the Bible verse back there. If you'd like to take one and memorize it and meditate upon it and feed that new man. It's not that hard. It's only about how many words? 1 to 12. I don't know. But it's not that hard to memorize the word of God. Hey, America. I love to do this on the streets. Hey, America. Hey, Christian men. Your country was started with this book. And when you don't have the very things on your insides that started your country, you know what you're kind of like? Well, I could go a hammer and a sickle because they don't have it. Boy, that's strong. But it's true. Amen. If you don't have any gasoline in your car, how far are you going to go? Ha ha, if I have it going downhill, it'll go. Okay, you're right. That's where our country's gone because of the emaciation of the inward man, of the individual Christian, because that man doesn't have the words of God on its insides. Amen. Whose fault is it? So Jesus said, you need to feed that new nature. Just as your human body needs all the food groups to make it healthy and able to fight off germs and sicknesses, so does your new nature. You feed yourself, your carnal body, your old man. You feed him pleasures. You feed him food. You feed him Captain Crunch. You feed him kale. You feed him birthday cake. You feed him steaks. And you feed him fish. And you feed him. And that's good. The four food groups. And you do that on a daily basis. And what's that do? It gives you pleasure. We love to eat. We're Baptists. Hey, but it makes energy for you. When you feed that guy... Come on, help me out. I think this is pretty simple. But when you feed your body, the good things or the bad, don't get me under conviction up here, I'm preaching. Nonetheless, when you eat those Doritos, you enjoy them and they're pleasurable. And you get a little energy out of them. So is true with the Word of God. The new man or new nature needs to be fed the Word of God on a daily basis. It has in it all the things for your new nature to grow and strive and be healthy. Now, here's some things that the Word of God is likened unto. I don't know if this... I will say that the Word of God has a daily balanced diet in it for your new man. Listen, if it wasn't in the book and your new man couldn't be fed fully, then we wouldn't have a very good Heavenly Father. Because as a mom and dad, we want to try to put good things on our table... Okay, you define good. We want to try to put good things as good stewards of our children on our table and so that they'll grow up to be healthy, and wise. So is our Heavenly Father. We need to feed the new nature. This Bible is a complete dietary thing that new man on your insides needs. It's milk. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk. The Bible's like milk. When was the last time you milked it? Got that cream that come to the top. And you got your pen and your paper out and you said, ooh, 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 I got to show the brother in this one. This is good. That daily sustenance. When was the last time you went to the cow and got a drink? In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, I won't turn there for sake of time, but the Bible is likened unto meat. Well, we need that protein on our insides. I mean, I don't know. I guess it's healthy to be a vegan, but whatever. You know, to each is their own, but I like to eat meat. It does the body good. You know, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, the Bible is likened unto water. You say, now, brother, I got you there, because the Bible talks about the church. Ephesians 5:26, the washing of the water by the word, that he might sanctify the church to himself by the washing of the water by the word. But listen, Jesus said in John, the Bible's like water. Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 37, I am the if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. The Bible's like water. Because Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Amen. Now, you and I both know that if you go too long without water, you're going to get emaciated. And if that new man on your insides goes too long without this book, he's going to get emaciated. And you're going to walk around like Eeyore. Lester Roloff had a song that said, went down to Grumbler Valley. And at Grumbler Valley, and in that alley, there's a house that's all wrecked and condemned, and you can't live in it no more. Said, but the good shepherd came along and saved me out of that condemned house, and now I live on Hallelujah Street. Hey, live without water for a while. You get emaciated. The Bible's like honey. It's good for that new nature. In Psalm 119, 103, the Bible says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24 says, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. How many people are dying of cancer in America today? Why? Ain't no honey. Ain't no water. Ain't the proper meat. You know, the Bible is like, turn with you, if you would, look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. But what type of bread do we have here? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. The Bible's like milk. The Bible's like meat. The Bible's like water. The Bible's like honey. This book is like bread. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "In all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee hunger to hunger and fed thee with manna." Well, that manna, where'd that manna come from? It came from heaven. And that manna is like bread. That manna is the thing that the children of Israel, that's the thing that God prescribed for his children so that they could be fed on a daily basis. And you know what that manna was? I'll keep reading it. Neither didst thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. The Bible's like bread. Listen, the Bible's like Wonder Bread. Hey man, the Bible's like angel food brought down to them by the hand of angels. The Bible's like miracle bread. The Bible's like a heavenly bread. And man, when it's in on your insides and you're feeding that new man, it'll cause you to be able to do wonderful things. It'll cause you to be able to do miraculous and marvelous things. Why? Because that new man is feeding on the manna, that manna that came down from God. It was a miracle. Nobody else was getting it but God's children. And it was feeding them, and it was sustaining them, and it was helping them, and it was causing them to live and to grow and to be fed. And for 40 years, they were able to do miraculous things. The Bible is like a medicine. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. So these are all things that the new man needs on his insides. Proverbs, the Bible is like a medicine. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 says, "My son, attend to my words." Do you have your father's words in your lap today? Yeah. This book, this King James Bible, it's a miracle from heaven. There's no other book upon the face of the earth like this book. This Bible right here is running the world and holding the world together. It's miraculous. And the Lord says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart." Why? Because they're a medicine in verse number 22. "For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." They're a medicine for when you get sick. Hey, listen, to the new man, the Word of God is a medicine that when the enemy gets a fiery dart past your shield, you're able to break off that dart and you're able to put some of the Word of God on you when you get stuck, and you're able to heal that wound. I got a wound on my hand. That's what the Word of God is like. You know what it's like? It's like a medicine. You know what it's like? It's like wine. You know what some of you need to do? Scratch this from the tape. You need to go get drunk. Yeah. 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 You would act a little different. When you get drunk, you do act a little different. They call it liquid courage, don't they? You know what the Bible's like? The Bible's like wine, man. Hey, watch this. Be not, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. In Ephesians 5, 18, the Bible says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess." You know, oftentimes what's on the jug? You see in the movies and everything, in the cartoons, what do they put on the jug? X's. Now that's to get you to think. I'm either lying or dying. "Be not drunk with wine wherein it says excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Doing what? Singing yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Why? Because you got drunk on the Word of God. Is not wine have a medicinal value? Yeah, it does. It does. Listen, you need. How can you feed your new nature its necessities? As you sit around a table, possibly three times a day, they say you ought to have 3 squares a day. That's what you get in prison. Well, church ought not to be like a prison. But listen, nonetheless, 3 squares a day. You sit possibly and you eat 3 times. How can you feed that new nature on your inside? Well, I don't know. The church house is open 3 times a week. I don't know. Listen, guys, look, nobody has held a gun to my head for 30 years to come to the church house when the doors are open. How about you, Leah? Anybody? There must be something about it. There must be a draw that when the Word of God is preached and the Word of God is taught, it must just make me feel a little woozy that I come back for more. I know in my old life that I had to learn how to like to drink beer and vodka because it was nasty. But when I did, it did something to me. And you know what I did? Unfortunately, kids, don't you ever do it. It ain't worth it. I went back for more. And it ruined my life almost. Now I come and get a drink here. And it doesn't ruin my life. It sustains my life. It sustains my life. How can you feed your new nature? You can read the Word of God. You can memorize the Word of God. You can meditate on the Word of God. You can minister the Word of God to others. Jesus said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Question for you. From the necessity of feeding your new nature. Right now, does your new man take on the shape as your carnal man and body? Now that's low. I'd love to lose some weight. But I wonder, does your new man have the same stature on your insides as your old man and your carnal body does, and you've been saved for 10, 15, 20, 30, and 40 years? Well, what would the Lord have you to do if that's kind of a negative question? He'd have you to grow in grace. He'd have you to put some things down and to pick some things up. Amen. Number two. Let me ask you this. Is your new nature thriving or emaciated or sick? Would you consider yourself possibly, as were to be in a spiritual fight, would you consider yourself a Christian warrior or a weakling? See, we can do the put on here, but and at the end of the day, you and I are the one that either enjoys the blessing or loses out. And the judgment seat of Christ is going to bear out some things. Because the fire is going to try our works and what sort it is. The new nature needs to be fed. Would you agree with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. That was pretty weak. The new nature needs to be fed. Please say amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you. Hey, you know what the new nature needs? This is a necessity. This isn't, well, I hope so, I think so, I might. The hope so and think so's and mights are losers. This is a necessity, just like you feed yourself. Listen, that new nature needs you to flee and to follow some things. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now we're going to touch the nerve here. Is everybody okay and all right? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. The new nature needs to flee some things. That means, you know, when the snake's around, don't mess with the thing. Get away from it. The lion's over there, you're in front of a bear, you got to play dead. Okay, so be it, I don't know. But when the bear leaves, get away from it. There's some things that your new nature on the insides needs. It needs to flee. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men, corrupt minds, destitute of the truth. Here we go. Supposing that gain, America, is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, some things that new nature needs to flee from and follow. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. That's true. Can't take a U-Haul to heaven, amen? And it cost way too much to bury it. Why would you want to do that to your spouse? And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drowned men in destruction and perdition. That doesn't sound very fun. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But look at this. Here's that new nature on your inside. Here's that guy that has the image of Jesus Christ. Here's that warrior on your inside. Here's that Son of God that's supposed to be victorious and valiant. Here's that one that's at the throne of God continually and in fellowship like Enoch, walking with God on a daily basis. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Flee. That new nature on your insides, brothers and sisters, it needs you to flee some stuff. It needs you to run away as fast as you can. It needs you to get away. You say, what is it? It's the things that's in that list above. Flee from the temporal thought that gain is godliness. Flee from the thought that things and possessions you hold on to so tightly in this life are worth eternal riches and possessions. Flee the thought to be rich and to have a lot of money and fame in this world is the answer of life and all its problems. You got to flee that stuff. Let me tell you something. You got your stimulus checks. How much harder is it now to be charitable with the stimulus check that you just got? When you don't have hardly anything sometimes, it's easy to give because God blesses the daylights out of that. But when you get more, like Nebuchadnezzar, and you get more like Solomon, and all of a sudden you say, oh, this is my security. And the Lord says, yeah, but what about that missionary? Yeah, but what about that family there? But what about them? Yeah, pray about it. That's stuff to flee. That's stuff to flee. Listen, it doesn't matter how much you have. It doesn't matter how much you give. What matters is what you have left after you're done giving. Hey, Luke chapter 12, verse 16 through 34, there's a parable of a rich farmer. And that guy went out there and he worked and he worked and he worked and he invested in the stock market and he made his money and he made his money and he made his money and he's got his possessions and God was blessing him all along and blessing his work all along and he was so blessed by God and his barns were so full that he had to build bigger barns. You guys know the parable. God's nowhere in that man's life. And then all of a sudden, the very thing that he wanted was peace, relaxation. He wanted to retire. He wanted to kick back. And he had his garners full. And he said, it's all good. He said, my soul, take ease, eat, rest, and be merry. And the Lord said, thou fool, tonight thy soul is required of thee. Jesus Christ called that American man, possibly, with his stock market, with his riches. And I'm not saying all that stuff is bad, and you need to make your money work for you, and blah, 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 blah. I get it. It's not bad to have things. What's bad about things are when they have you. And you don't have the person that gave you those things. There's a miss. You know, like in your motor, it should go, all of a sudden you go, there's a miss. There's a miss in your spirit. You have to flee that. That is a temptation as Americans that we have. I'm going to work to retire, Brother Jim. That the American dream, listen, brothers and sisters, is a Christian nightmare. Because you know what it causes the American to do? They call it the American dream's a Christian nightmare. As Christians, it's not worth fighting physically for the American dream. It's not worth it. Because if that's all you're fighting for, you're fighting, as Jesus Christ said, verse 21, so is he that... called that man a fool and said, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Hey, you want to fight for America? You want to fight for the flag? I do not say that you... Now, if you're a police officer or you're in the army or all that, that's a separate issue. Biblically, we can go down that road. But as a private servant, for you to take up arms and to defend your flag, I would not adhere to it because it's for temporal purposes. And Jesus Christ said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." I told you I was going to meddle just a little bit. You've got to get off the natural. You've got to get off the carnal. You've got to think spiritually. You've got to think eternally. This stuff, this flag, this country, this pride of America. So be it. Okay. Let me say it this way. What would you fight for? Would you fight for the reason God made America? I'm all in for fighting spiritually and having a spiritual fight for eternal purposes, like living for God, living for righteousness, getting God's word out, seeing souls saved, glorifying God. What would you fight for? Would you take up arms for, would you fight for the reason God made America? Or would you fight for the God that America has made? If you're in a physical fight for tangible things, well, I'm just going to do it so, you know, that my children have a better America. I think there's an example of the 12 spies that went into Canaan land and came back and said, we can't go in there because of our children. Now that rubs you the wrong way, but you need to be rubbed the wrong way. You need to have your cat turned around. It's true, you got to get your eyes off the temporal. Listen, for here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. That's New Jerusalem, guys. We got a flag set in New Jerusalem, and that's our banner, the Bible says. The banner over them is love. You need to flee these things. LeBron, listen. Maybe I should be done. I don't know how the time is. But you need to flee the thought that to be rich and to make a lot of money and fame is the answer to all of life's problems. Well, it is, Brother Jim. Listen, God is the answer to your bills. Amen. God is the answer to your health. God is the answer to your life insurance. God is the answer for everything. And if you're nil and void of God, God's available to be gotten hold of. But it takes time. It takes vision. It takes effort. It takes desire. It takes thirst. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, David said, so panteth my heart after thee, O God. The gods of this world that are fools, Elon Musk, $197 billion, Tesla, SpaceX, he's a fool. Jeff Bezos, Amazon, $182 billion, he's a fool. So says Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Bill Gates, a fool. Mark Zuckerberg, a fool. LeBron James, $440 million. He's a fool. Why? You guys are richer in here just by being here today than Mark Zuckerberg. I know how I'm pronouncing it. Elon Musk. Hey, folks. He's trying to get up in the clouds, and he is, and he's doing a great job at it. I can get there faster than he can and go farther than he can. He's a fool. And you and I are sold the bill of goods that money is the answer to our problems. No, money is not the answer to our problems. God is the answer. Amen. All things start with God, all things end with God. And everything in between he's got taken care of too. They're fools. The new nature needs to flee youthful lust. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm not going to elaborate this, but 1 Timothy chapter number 2. So excuse me, 2 Timothy 2. That new nature, it's a necessity that he's fed. It's a new nature that he flees from some things. He needs to flee the things that I've mentioned. He needs to flee youthful lust. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. You know God loves you today? You know God has an unconditional love for you that, listen, look, you don't even love yourself. You think, you look in the mirror and, you walk with yourself each day and you talk to God about yourself. And sometimes if you're positive on yourself, praise the Lord, that should come from God. But oftentimes in this vile, wicked, Adamic, filthy, nasty flesh, I hate myself. I really do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Man, listen, it's a fight. Man, there's a fight going on. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We're to flee youthful lust. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Paul says to Timothy, flee also youthful lust. But look at that. Just like he said back there in Timothy chapter 1, chapter 6, he said there's some things to follow. Flee lust. Samson had a problem with lust. Got him into a mess, didn't it? Yeah, it did. Well, I'll go on. Just for sake of time. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14. Everybody doing all right? Say amen. Amen. All right. I'm almost done, I promise. I'm not sure what time I'm supposed to stop, but I'm going to, by the grace of God, be done here pretty soon. Flee youthful lusts, and look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14. The new man on your insides, it's a necessity that you don't inject him with battery acid, because he will die. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we're to flee youthful lust. We're to flee some of those things about money and riches. We're to flee, look at, idolatry. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. An idol in your life is what you bow your head down to, or break your knees to, or sit in front of, or think about the most. It's the thing you spend the most time with and go back to because it gives you pleasure. It gives you comfort in your life. And there's a lot of idols in America today that we're to flee from. I'm going to move to the next point just because of sake of time. No, I'm not. There's a TV, smartphones, sports, money, food, education, science, pleasure, politics, and American pride. Look, anything is good if it's used for the purpose by which it was created. Anything can be used as a tool. College education can be used as a tool. Businesses can be used as a tool. But when you cross that line to the places I mentioned before, that you start getting more from it, as I mentioned, then from the person that gave it to you, it's an idol. Christians have idols. Self-righteousness. Titles and positions given to men, like the Pope. Look, Baptist preachers aren't popes. Baptist preachers are ministers. We're to hold them in high esteem. We're to count them with double honor and things of that nature. But they're shepherds. And oftentimes you get lulled into this sleep that now I have this position, now I have this name, I'm somebody. Jesus said, I have not come to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. We're nobodies. Trying to make some somebodies. Because you're like sheep. And we want your wool. And we want to take the wool off you. We want to get your sheep. We want to get that wool to grow nice. We want to get the girl fluffy. We want you to be healthy, because there's two things that us shepherds want to do with you sheep. Do you know what those two things are? Come back next time I preach, I'll tell you. No, you know what we want to do? We want to take you and take the razor and go, meow, 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 and we're going to leave your head nice and full so you look scary and crazy. But from the shoulders down, brother, you're going to be just like Matt's head over there. Or Brother Barber's. And we're going to take that wool, sheep, that you've grown, and we're going to start doing this to it, and we're going to start making fine linen. And the Bible says that the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Yeah. And you know what else we want to do with you? We need you for sacrifice. But brother, if you're emaciated, we can't give that to the Lord as a sacrifice. You see, by the grace of God, we're never going to ask you to go through some things that we haven't already been through. We've left some things. We've surrendered some things. We've sacrificed some things. We've gone through the mill a little bit on some things. And so have you. Yeah. Well, I'll move on. We're to flee youthful lusts, things of that nature. Well, we're also to follow. The Bible says that in 1 Timothy chapter 6. I wonder today, what are you following? If you were to really examine yourself, if I was to really examine myself, what am I following? Brother Dan went over the scripture today that says, more or less, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ. What are your desires? Is it an outward, carnal, temporal desire? And you follow that thing because it gives you pleasure, you can hide in it? Or is it the inward desire that, like a magnet, you want to stick to the Spirit of God, you want to stick to the Word of God, you want to be drawn nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you? Boy, that's rich Christian living, you know that? But you know what it is in order to have that? It's a fight. Because that old dog and that new dog, or that white dog and that black dog, they're constantly at it. But listen, when you got saved, you got crucified with Jesus Christ. Amen. You got buried when you called upon the name of the Lord. You rose from the dead when you said, Amen. And now you're a new creature in Jesus Christ. You have the power, you have the virtue, you have the sustenance on your inside to live the Christian, the victorious Christian life. Enoch, Abraham, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Matthew, Mark, Ruth, Luke, John, Mary. You can find the will of God for your life and do it, and nobody can take you off of it or touch you. And the richest man in this room, the richest man in this world, is to be in contact with his Creator, which is a very big Creator, and to have Him say, this is what I want you to do, and you go do it. That's a peace that passeth all understanding. And the devil hates it. He hates it because you've taken his spot. The devil no longer gets the adoration and the accolades and the things that Jehovah God used to place upon him when his name was Lucifer. Now you get it. When was the last time you heard them accolades from your father? That leads me into the final point very, very briefly. The new nature has a necessity of fellowship. Fellowship. You know what fellowship is? Well, the new nature has a necessity to be fed. The new nature has a necessity on your insides to flee and to follow. You can read those verses in 2 Timothy and follow those things that it says there. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. But the new nature has a necessity of fellowship. What is fellowship? Fellowship is two fellows in a ship. Fellowship is two people that are in a canoe. Fellowship is two people that are in a boat. And when those two people are in one accord and in one mind, well, then they're going to get to the place where they wanted to go, and they're going to do it in harmony. That's fellowship. The opposite of fellowship is the guy that's in the canoe. He's not paddling. He's splashing the guy in the back with the oar. And there's a waterfall right back there, and they got to get to a nice fishing hole. And this fella here thinks it's funny to look at the birds and the bees and the storks and the moose, and the other guy's paddling a whole lot back there, dying, trying to get them up to the fishing hole so that they don't go over the waterfall. That's not fellowship. The new man has a necessity on its insides for fellowship. Fellowship. For a joyful ride. The new nature needs fellowship with God the Father. First, look at, if you will with me, 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. There is a song that says, my father has a great big family, and there are many children besides me. If you wonder how he divides his time, just let me say I never stand in line. He loves me like I was his only child. Never knew such love before. I could never ask for more. He loves me like I was his only child. The youth group can sing that. God really loves me. Yes, he really loves me. He loves me like I was his only child. You want verse 2? No, I'm not going to do it. You have to pay more for verse number 2. Listen, listen. It's a necessity. It's not a well, I might, or I, you know. It's a necessity. That new man needs fellowship with God, your Father. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. And I wonder, how is it, as I mentioned before, how is your fellowship with God as your Father, or Jesus Christ, your friend, or your Savior, or the captain of your salvation? How is that fellowship between you and Him? 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That inside man needs fellowship with the Father. Hey, dads, what's going to happen to your son if you just let him run amok? And you give him no personal time? You give him no direction? You give him no instruction? You give him no discipline? You give him no love? You give him no pleasure? You give him no joy? You don't even give him yourself? Dad, what's going to happen with that child? He's going to become a wild man. He's going to gravitate back to that old nature because that's all that comes naturally. But that's not true of Christians. That new nature on the inside, it's a necessity that you have fellowship with your Father. In the book of John, the word Father is used 104 times. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 15, Jesus called God His Heavenly Father. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, Jesus said, "Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass." In Matthew chapter 26, verse 53, Jesus said, "Thinkest thou not that I could pray to my Father, and He would give me more than 12 legions of angels?" He said in John chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus said, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." In John chapter 8, verse 29, "He that hath sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. I do always those things that please Him." Now that's Jesus Christ. Now that's Jesus Christ. He's on our insides. And when He was on this earth in His ministry, He had a necessity in that He had to be connected continually with His Father. You know, like Dan mentioned this morning in Sunday school, you want to know something that's amazing about Jesus Christ? Listen to this. It says that the amount of time that Jesus Christ spent in fellowship with His Father in prayer, Jesus spent much time with His Father in prayer and fellowship. Matthew chapter 14, verse 23 says, "He went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, He was there alone." Luke chapter 6, verse 12 says, "And it came to pass in those days that He went out into the mountain to pray and continued all night." This is Jesus Christ in prayer to God. Now you have your time that you watch the TV. You have your time that you have for pleasure because it does something for you. But Jesus Christ, it was a necessity in that it says in the morning, rising up a great while in Mark chapter 1 verse 35, before day He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Yeah. That inside man, that new man on the inside, Jesus Christ sets the example in that oftentimes He would fell it, He needed it. He ingested it. He drank His time of prayer in with God. He couldn't do without it in the morning. He couldn't do without it in the day. He couldn't do without it in the evening. He couldn't do without it at midnight. And that oftentimes Jesus Christ was alone, and that new man on our insides, it needs to connect with God through prayer and be satisfied with God through prayer and have answers of life answered in your life through prayer. It's miraculous. But yet, it's so mistreated. And that's the fight that we're in. You know, we're like a boat in the world and we're sailing through the waters of this life. And in order for you to sail and not to sink, the world just wants to pour water in and pour water in and pour water in and pour water in. The only time we give God a break is when we're asleep. You can laugh at that. We got to try to keep the water out of the boat. You know, that leads me to an illustration. In Mark chapter 4, verse 38, you know the story. Jesus was asleep on the pillow. He's in the back of the boat, And they're in the midst of a storm, and all them grown apostles, and a lot of them were fishermen, and a lot of them knew those waters. They were in that storm, and what was going on? The boat. The boat was filling up with water, right? The boat was in the storm, the boat was filling up with water. In your life, are there some times when it seems like the boat's filling up with water, you're sinking and you don't know what to do? How many times has that happened to you in your life? One time? No. Two times? No. Three times? Four times? Five times? Can I be an auctioneer? Hasn't God gotten you through the storm each time? He sure has. Where was the Lord? Well, the thing was filling up. The apostles were acting like little girls. They were frantic. They didn't know what to do. And where was the Lord? He was asleep on the pillow. You know what the old color preacher said about that? If you is able to stay awake in the prayer meetings, you can sleep in the storm. That inside has a necessity for you to be in contact with your Father through prayer. When you pray, I'll give you some advice. You ought to find north if you can. You ought to be able to picture a throne on a daily basis, or when you walk through your day, you can pray. But when you get on your knees and you pray to your God in private, you should picture a throne. You should picture God on it. You should bring the blood to that throne. You should bring the words to that throne. You should bring the gospel to that throne. And the Bible says, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Because the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And when it comes to prayer, you need a vision to know where God's at. You need a vision to know, unless we serve a dead God, you need a vision to know what God's doing. And you need a vision to see how God's looking at you when you pray. And it'll encourage you that you'll know that you're doing the right thing at the right time and having communion that your inside man needs. It's the necessity of prayer and fellowship with your Heavenly Father. And I'd like to ask you today, you know what else? We got this down pat, and I'm going to close. But how is your fellowship with your Father today when it comes to prayer? It takes time. It takes desire. I wonder, the Bible says, if I can find it here, fellowship, hold on. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9 says that God hath called us into the fellowship of His Son. I wonder, is the Lord calling and is He having to leave messages? Is the Lord calling to you because He wants to spend some time with you and all He's getting possibly is the voicemail? Now I think a lot of you in here, you're enjoying your time of prayer. As a young Christian, you can't enjoy it. You don't get it. But keep working on it. It will work. Listen, you'll get revelation through prayer. That's how I got this message. Other times my wife makes them up for me. But this one I actually got from the Lord. Is the Lord, hey listen, has the Lord sent you a text and you haven't found out what your text is? Has the Lord sent you a text, a personal text? You ought to get mad at Satan. Because he's causing possibly the inside, you're that new man that's saved, that represents you before the throne of God. You ought to get mad at Satan. You ought to get mad at the world. You ought to get mad at yourself. And you ought to tell them suckers, you're done stealing from me. You're done. Right now, you're done. I'm going to feed that new man the word of God. I'm going to flee some of those things that tarnishes my fellowship with God Almighty. I'm going to flee some of that stuff. I'm not going to fall prey to that temptation. I'm not going to have a cold heart anymore. I'm not going to doubt the promises of God anymore. He's gotten me through in the past. He's got 1,000% track record. And He's going to get me through into the future. He's going to get me through the Jordan. And I'm going to stand victorious through them heavenly gates and in Mount Zion one day.